Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, have you walked outside yet?
It's not nice.
No, it's wading through soup. That's what it feels like this morning. But we'll tough it out.
Exactly.
We're strong. It's summertime. Kids love it. Some parents love it. But still, we have things going on at the MCCSE, and you've got a meeting coming up around the corner, and this time of year is always to make sure we've got all the pieces in the right places, because before you know it, it's going to be August 10th, and before you know it, everybody's going to be back to school, and we saw, what was it, last week, that Fairview now needs a new principal as well, so give us your thoughts on what's happening there.
Exactly. There was a really nice article in the paper about Justin Hunter, the principal of Fairview, who has notified us that he will be leaving to take a similar position in Greenwood, Indiana. So that's another principal that we need to look for. That position has been advertised, but I got to tell you, Glass, being a principal has got to be, in my mind, one of the most difficult jobs in the world, because there are so many things that you're doing constantly, whether it's curriculum or dealing with kids and their families, or dealing with behavioral issues, and then the events. It really has kind of become a 24/7 position, and we've done really well with our principals, though, and we'll miss Dr. Hunter, but that job has been posted now, and we'll see who we can get to come in and continue the progress that Fairview's been making.
And that progress has been shown through multiple levels, Sue, but the most important level it's been shown through is the state's eyes, because when you have a school that is struggling like that, it can only struggle for a certain period of time before it needs to show progress, and I think that's the key here, right?
Well, yes, exactly. Fairview did really well with the I-STEP scores this past year and the grade from the Department of Education, So we're moving, we're on a roll, and we'll be looking for somebody who can continue that progress. And don't forget, Fairview, you know, was an artful learning school, and
right
now it's going to have the art academy there, with not just illustrated art, but studio art, dance and music. So we're adding, or we're really expanding that component.
What was artful learning
curriculum
before that? I know you've told me before, but not everybody like me can remember. What is the difference between the two curriculums? Is it just an enhanced version of?
Artful learning really combined, it took art as a basis for the rest of the curriculum. So it was tied into social studies and math and English. And it's a national program, and we contracted with the Bernstein Institute in Los Angeles to develop this. Now we're adding a whole lot of different elements, and there's one school, I think it's in Kokomo, who has done an art academy like this. So we're kind of modeling it from that and really adding a whole lot more in terms of the offerings that kids can actually develop. They're going to have majors and minors in elementary school, just meaning different areas that they'll be focusing on. So the curriculum's going to be pretty rigorous, and I think pretty exciting, but that's one more thing to be looking at when we get a new principal.
Somebody who has to balance all of that. Are you going to look for somebody in who has dealt with this before? Is that important that someone has been in a learning environment that's similar to this, or is it just from mainly a leadership position?
That's a good question. I think a leadership position, but also someone who has knowledge of or experience in an urban school with high poverty, how you work with those kids, how you involve their families. So there's really a whole lot of elements within that. So we'll see what happens. And our superintendent will be hiring somebody, hopefully before school starts. And as you said, yeah, I mean, month and a half, we're going to be opening school soon.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is the season when people retire or leave, the job carousel makes its rounds, and when the music stops, everybody needs to have a seat pretty much. How many other replacements are we looking at across the corporation?
Well, I know, you know, we have a meeting coming up this Tuesday, the 28th at 6 o'clock, and I do know that we're going to be approving one hire for a principal, but we have a couple of others that that we're still working on, or that the administration is working on. And remember, when we hire principals, we use committees of teachers who are not necessarily working right now. So we've got to get those teachers in. And then families who have other obligations during the summer, but we want those parents involved in those kinds of decisions too. So it's not a quick one-day process. It takes a little while. But we will be approving one, at least one on Tuesday, and we'll see who else we might be approving coming forward.
MCCSC School Board member Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She checks in every Thursday just after 8:05. And obviously, Sue, we talk about the school year happening right around the corner. It'll be here before we know it. So will the November elections, and the referendum is being all put together. How close are we to getting all those T's crossed and I's dotted to get that out into the public?
We've just about got those T's crossed and the I's dotted. On Tuesday at the school board meeting, the school board will adopt the proposal that puts the referendum actually into the legal works of moving forward and being on the ballot. The school board has to approve that, and then it goes to the election board. So that will be it. We've got the proposal written. I think we've talked about before, there's a proposal from the referendum committee to show how the money will be spent. We have our PAC committee, the Political Action Committee, that's raising money so that they can campaign for this. And we've got volunteers out and about all over the place talking to folks about the importance of the referendum. You know, knowing that when we did this 6 years ago, a lot of people who are here now weren't here 6 years ago. So there's a whole lot of education and a whole lot of work that goes into this. And thankfully, we've got a whole lot of volunteers. And if people are interested, if they have a question or if they're interested in helping us, the website is yes4mccsc.org.
Very nice. And once that is all in place, it's got to be approved by the state, and everybody knows the ground rules about when you can do things, when you can't do things, who can, what you can't. So it's a little bit more convoluted than maybe 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, well, you're right. The state law is very different from 6 years ago. Once the board passes this on Tuesday, we are prohibited, or the referendum committee is prohibited from using school facilities or school equipment, anything involving the school in terms of campaigning. People can't campaign who are working for the school corporation on school time. They can certainly, if asked a teacher, can answer it. But other than that, everything is done away from the schools.
Outside the walls, right?
School time. Right.
Excellent. So there we go. Everybody will be raring to go on all that. What other stories am I missing? I feel like I'm behind the times here. Summertime, I'm just hot all the time now, and my brain doesn't work. What's left of my brain is not working.
Doesn't it seem like we haven't had a school board meeting in forever?
Yes, because there are five Thursdays in June, so I know there's,
well,
we've stretched
also
it out.
Because yeah, and in May we had our school board meeting a little bit earlier.
Because of Memorial Day and graduation,
yeah,
and everything else. So
exactly.
Yeah.
So it really does seem like forever. I do wanna mention,
please,
Steve Hennefeld, who's a local journalist.
Yeah, used to be with the Herald Times, right?
Yeah. He blogs about education, he's an educational activist, has written an article about trying to find, now if you remember last year with the ISTEP scores, schools were in a category of hold harmless. So if they got a score lower than what it had been before,
yeah, you picked your score, right?
They were given that school. Yeah, they were given.
You could choose which one you like.
Right. Well, see, that's the case. Steve has asked and filed for records to show what schools would have gotten had they not been in that hold harmless category. So not only did they want to see the scores that schools were given, because nobody knows. And all those scores, is that the score that you had from last year, or is this really a score that you earned? So he's been denied those records, so it'll be interesting to see going forward if he's able to get those scores.
What would you like to learn from those numbers?
I think...
Who didn't test well because of the problems, or...
Or how many schools...
I think how many is accurate.
Yeah, experienced a testing problem. I mean, nobody's asking for somebody's individual.
Sure,
test score.
Sure, sure, sure.
Just knowing, Yeah, if how many schools actually would have been affected by the faulty testing and scoring of ISTEP. So that'll kind of be interesting to see what happens with that.
And the more faultier tests, I would think the state would want to know that so they could go to their testing partner and say, hey, look, or maybe they already have that information, or maybe they're already doing
they just choose not to make it public.
Yeah.
Right, they have it. That they don't want to release it. They say it's deliberative, it's part of a decision-making process, but the state access counselor has said, no, this is data that should be released. But other than somebody suing and having it ruled on in court, it looks like there's no way right now that people will get that information.
Interesting. I don't know if it's in a good way, but it's interesting. So yeah. What happens? He's looking for an open information record or whatever they call that?
Yeah, he filed a Freedom of Information Act request, and that was denied twice, and I think other people have had it denied, so that's when he went to the public access counselor who's employed by the state, and then he also went to, I'm not sure of the name, the title, but it's the press association in the state. They, too, advise on open records, and they supported him and said, yes, this information should be made public, but it hasn't been. So right now we don't know.
Well, we'll keep our eyes open for that, and we will keep our eyes open on the school board meeting. When is that coming up again? Is it this Tuesday, the 28th?
At 6 o'clock in the School Administration Center on North Drive, north of South.
And you'll be very busy, obviously, with all the updates to personnel and everything else that's going on with that,
right. Referendum things. Yeah, that'll be big.
Yeah, you're cramming in 6 weeks of stuff.
And the referendum. So the agenda should be published later on today, so anyone who's interested can go to the school website and take a look at that agenda.
Very nice. And we always thank you for your time this morning. When we talk next Thursday, we'll recap the meeting and see what else is happening. And when we meet next Thursday, it'll be the final day of June. How about that?
Oh, that's amazing.
Time keeps on slipping.
April.
Yeah. walk outside and you will realize we are nowhere near April. That'll change your point of view there. Hey, Sue, great job as always. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike.